This is Business by the Bay, here to discuss challenges businesses face and possible solutions. Your host, Ajay Sani.
Hello, and good afternoon, everyone. This is Ajay with Business by the Bay, and this show is sponsored by Payroll Vault. And today, I am interviewing L. Arias, who is a CPA, and his career spans over 40 years handling and consulting on strategic accounting and financial affairs of individuals, for-profit entities, and not-for-profits. He holds a number of licenses and credentials, including accredited estate planner, certified fraud examiner, and is a life agent. So Mr. L. Arias joined the international accounting firm, now KPMG, where he was a partner. In 1981, Mr. Arias formed in San Diego, California, the firm of A.V. Arias & Company, certified public accountants, offering a wide range of services, including income and estate planning, estate tax planning, and other consulting services. So, Hal, before we start, I just want to say that it's always a pleasure talking to experts because they bring what they are breathing day in, day out, and that information sharing is gold, because at times we are not even thinking about certain pointers. So I'm looking forward to pick your brain and basically go with the flow. So how are you doing today?
Well, it's like every other day, dynamic, all kinds of things happening that come out of the woodwork. And that's what makes it really exciting to be a practitioner.
You're absolutely right. So why don't you, like, you know, I briefly mentioned like how you started. Why don't you explain in your own words a bit of your journey and what you're doing today?
Well, I started in 1965 in the Los Angeles office of then Pete Marwick Mitchell & Co., which later became KPMG. Mm-hmm. So, of course, I was an entry-level accountant, and I thought I was hired as to enter the consulting department. And I come into the firm, and they give me my first assignment was to go out on the audit of Packard Bell, which was a significant middle-market company at the time that became a very large company later. Mm-hmm. And so I suppose this must be a mistake. So I go down to the corner office, mm-hmm. and I say, I think there's been a mistake. I've been assigned to an audit. He said, well, you're working for us now, and you go where we send you. Okay. So I did. And I spent the first 3 years of my career in auditing, and I did SEC review engagements, acquisition engagements. Those are particularly exciting where you have, you know, a very large team conducting an examination that has to be beginning to end and completed in a very short time span. So the time pressure is immense. You work extremely long hours. You know, it's like being a litigation attorney, and you have to produce the result, which is a report suitable for SEC purposes. And that's really challenging because the report writing itself is very challenging, and everything that goes with it is like that. So that was a great deal of fun. But I, you know, when you're an auditor, when are you come onto the premises, when are you guys going to finish? Yes, the first day. And you're never the hero. You know, it's like they want you out. They want you to finish, and right, et cetera. And I wanted to be more of a hero. So I luckily got to transfer into the tax department. Mm-hmm. And that's tax department in LA is outrageously dynamic. Even then, there were well over 100 professionals in the department, and there was mergers and acquisitions. It was everything you could dream of because the economy there is so dynamic, and there's international work, there's executive recruiting, there's consulting, there's just everything. And it was very, very dynamic. I made a pretty quick impression in the tax department and rose into management and was doing some very exciting work. When I got the opportunity to transfer to the national office in Washington, D.C., I went there, and during my time in the national office, I did work that is at the state of the art. You have interface with the Joint Committee on Internal Revenue, with the Senate Finance Committee, with a House Ways and Means Committee. You get to lobby for proposed legislation on behalf of significant clients. You do conferences of right in the process of obtaining private letter rulings. You advise on sophisticated transactions, and you even spend time in the catacombs where the working files of decided tax court cases are available for reference on very, very sophisticated points of law, tax law, that come up. And they come up from everywhere. They come up from Frankfurt, Germany. They call you, give you a call. We need to know about getting a ruling for a Panamanian limitada. I mean, that's really outrageous, but that's a call. The next call could be from Peoria, from Billings, Montana, from Chicago, from New York, from LA, from Louisville. You know, it was awesome. And the kinds of jobs that you get when New York calls, when Houston calls, when LA calls, Chicago calls, are far different from the types of calls you get from Billings, Montana, Peoria, places like that, even Louisville. But that was the making of Al as a tax advisor. And I got to write for private letter rulings and actually negotiate them, which is the kind of state of the art for a CPA. You know, for lawyers, they think this is, you know, process. But for CPAs, this is as exciting as it gets. And reverse triangular mergers, statute, all kinds of stuff that came up. And after my tenure in the Washington, D.C. national office, I went back to the L.A. office of then Pete Mark Mitchell, and ultimately was transferred to San Diego, where I was made a partner in the firm. And did what partners do. You know, you give speeches, you're really out representing the firm, getting clients, writing articles. You know, you have to be in front. And that was really cool. And finally, in I think it was 1981, I decided that, you know, even though I had significant power and influence as a partner, I was still, you know, really subject to the will of others. And I wanted to have the corner office. So I started my own firm. And it turned out to be really a great experience where I got to bring the solutions prevalent or used in big business to small business, and ended up being mostly an advisor to middle market owners and to owners of middle market businesses and everything that they had. So that is how I got into this broad range of consulting services that includes, you know, retirement plan and asset protection and very significant exit strategies. So that is a hot topic in small business because, you know, there are stages in business, and finally you get to a mature stage where the owner is thinking about, what do I do next? You know, do I retire? Or how do I get something for what I built? And there's a lot of ways to go. If you've been working on a succession strategy in the business, there's a whole set of tactics and strategy that you go through. And if you're going to sell, then you have to have a team if you're going to get maximum for your company. You know, you have to develop what investment bankers want. Investment bankers are what it takes to get the most for your money, generally speaking, unless you sell to a competitor comes along and you fit into their acquisition strategy. I mean, you can't get more for your company, and you can get it tax-free if you are selling to a listed company that really wants you. I mean, you're going to get a lot for what you've got, and you're not going to pay a lot of taxes because of the types of rules you have access to for those kinds of transactions. So that's essentially my dream function, you know, is just to find owners of middle market entities and help them achieve what they're trying to achieve. And often that is exit. And the best way I know of, if you can access the $10 million per shareholder tax-free exit, tax-free of federal income taxes exit, that's a pretty cool deal. Because if you have something that's worth $500 million, there are ways to make that entire $500 million of gain. Usually if you're a founder, it's almost all gain, because you know the founding capitalization is usually minimal. And the companies build up into a great deal of value. And it's not unusual to have one like I'm describing. And you can use trust strategies to the extent that you achieve substantially tax-free federal income tax exit by selling or liquidating the company. Some sales are done asset sales. And that to get the tax-free exit, you have to have a C corp that's selling, and it has to have certain characteristics. So you sell it. There's gain to the corporation on the sale when it's liquidated, and then what's left is paid to the shareholders. And those payments are tax-free. So if there's $500 million left and it's structured correctly, no federal tax. That is really cool.
Yeah, that's really impressive. Absolutely. So Al, in terms of industries or the type of, you said middle market, are there certain types of industries that you focus on? It really doesn't matter to you? Whatever the business is, you are pretty neutral in that sense?
Yeah, it really doesn't matter to me. Of course, I have specializations. So the healthcare field is a field that you can't access the tax-free exit that I'm talking about. But there particularly, healthcare is not a favored activity in the Internal Revenue Code.
Okay.
And so everything is aimed at these, you know, professionals like doctors, lawyers, CPAs, engineers, etc. Those they're called professional service activities. And there are just some nasty rules that are applied to make those activities not tax favored. And they're trying to get, you know, they're trying to get your money if that's what you're doing. And there are ways to minimize the amount of money they can get. And that's where somebody like me comes in.
Okay.
And my one thing that is very helpful to a business is marketing. And, you know, if you're not doing marketing, you're not getting the most out of your company, right, no matter what the company is.
Absolutely.
And so if you organize a C corporation as a separate entity, and there's ways to organize companies that are called brother sister, where they're apart, you know, there's an owner and the owner owns a bunch of entities. So then there's parent subsidiary, where the owner owns the parent, and then the parent owns other entities. And it can be a lot of entities.
Mm-hmm.
And the advantage is that consolidated companies, when you have the pattern that I'm talking about,
mm-hmm.
and you can offset winners with losers and end up paying less tax. Mm-hmm. But in middle market, the parents tends to be the better way to organize. And especially if you separate the activities like I'm describing, since marketing is a favored activity. And everybody's doing marketing, but they're not doing it through a separate entity. And you do the separate entity, and that separate entity, if it's configured correctly, helps avoid the affiliated ownership rules that are very onerous when you're trying to save income taxes.
Mm-hmm.
And because you can defeat the affiliation rules, you can save taxes big time. Mm-hmm. I mean, just you really can save. There are numerous, having different fiscal years, it's just a huge array,
right,
of tactics to the strategy that results in very, very low income taxes. I'm having clients that are paying their taxes. They make a lot of money,
mm-hmm.
and they're paying their federal income taxes at an effective rate of 12%. How does that happen? You control the adjusted gross income so that you access the very low capital gains rates.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that strategy implementation, you end up, I mean, you can make several million dollars and pay an effective tax rate of 12%, and it's all legal.
Got it. That's extremely interesting. So what is overall your process when someone approaches you? How do you see that particular business is the right fit? And once you decide that, how do you go about it?
Well, if they're lower middle market, mm-hmm. it's the right fit for me. I mean, that's what I'm aiming at. It doesn't matter what the business is, because I have these special, I have a very broad array of specializations.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've been in the play for a long time. I've been in play for a long time. And if it's ever happened, it probably happened to me. And I've been there and done that, you know. Mm-hmm. And I just have all of these solutions,
mm-hmm.
that I've captured electronically.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's like there are patterns to transactions. Mm-hmm. And if something doesn't really fit the pattern, and you know of a pattern that produces just a wonderful result,
mm-hmm.
you know, how can I make it fit that wonderful result? And somebody like me that thinks like I do, I'm able to do that virtually every time up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I have a case, the process involves getting to understand the owner. What are they trying to do? What do they want? And what is their tolerance for X, Y, and Z? So every small business person,
mm-hmm.
says they want simplification. Okay. Simplification costs, and it can cost millions of dollars, mm-hmm. even in the lower middle market.
Right.
So I'm talking about companies 50 million in sales or lower.
Okay.
And my targets are really 5 million to 20 million in sales companies because I can do a lot for that kind of a company. If I get a company that's doing 50 million in sales, of course I can do more for them because there's more involved.
Right.
But they're trying to go public. They're trying to do things that are going to make me unattractive to them. Mm. And the 5 million to 20 million is a sweet spot for me because they're going to be attracted to what I can offer them. And I'm going to have them as clients for an extended period, unless I screw up, and I'm not in business to screw up.
Right. It perfectly makes sense. So overall, when it comes to certain scenarios, you mentioned like exit. I think exit is also good from the point of view that it's just not that you are planning to exit within the next year or 6 months or so, but if you are planning or you're working with an exit strategy in mind, you are maximizing, because if you want to maximize your exit, you need to do certain things in a way that is attractive to the buyer, which means the process itself, rather than being reactive that, okay, hey, I will sell after 10 years, so let me look into the ninth year and see how I can make myself attractive. If we start early enough and be attractive, which means that everything is done in a right way, even if we decide not to exit or exit, it will result in better outcome, isn't it?
Well, I really think a five-year plan is optimal.
Okay.
And the reason that is it takes 5 years to comply with the 10 million per shareholder exit, tax-free exit.
Okay.
It's a five-year endeavor. Mm-hmm. And so you have to keep everything. You have to keep everything going along the right way for 5 years, okay. And you bail and you pay no tax. Mm-hmm. So that is just a wonderful result, very valuable to practically everybody that's mm-hmm. in that market. So I like the five-year idea in doing tax planning, mm-hmm. just my everyday integrated tax planning. I have a three-year plan for all of my clients. So you can produce I try to pick an effective tax rate for the client. Most clients are very happy if they have an effective tax rate of 20% mm-hmm. on everything they make. And I can do that even if you're making really quite a bit of money because of the use of entities. Mm-hmm. So partnerships have characteristics that allow you to do a lot. Mm-hmm. And then C-corps have characteristics that allow you to do a lot. S-corps have characteristics. So what if you have a plan that has partnership, S-corp, and C-corps? Mm-hmm. You're going to be able to optimize your strategies. It's just, you need multiple characteristic entities to really achieve effective tax planning over a long period. Now, some planning, family planning, is 25-year planning. And the 25-year plans involve the use of really wonderful strategy that life insurance is, because if you have certain kinds of life insurance, they develop cash surrender value that can be accessed tax-free. And if you do it right, you can even escape estate taxes. And in you know, many cases, most cases really. And what that, because of retirement planning, mm-hmm. involves the use of qualified plans so that you get long deferrals that allow you to accumulate a large asset, a large liquid asset. It's still taxable when you take it out. And so now, in many cases, you retire and you're making just as much money as you did when you were working. So your tax rate stays the same unless you're planning mm-hmm. what I call the 25-year plan. most people can't even follow a five-year plan, okay? But if you get somebody, and I have done it successfully, 25-year plans, and even to the, you know, I mean, when I was way younger, I got clients that became even as old as 100 years and then passed, right?
Yeah.
Well, those that reach that 100-year benchmark, which has happened in my career, but those that reach that 100-year benchmark realize on all of the planning, including the estate planning. I mean, you know, that when you're the planner, it feels pretty good.
Yes, that's pretty impressive. So what I'm hearing from you is that you do pretty much an integrated tax planning where you look at the whole picture and, if required, create multiple entities and maximize various.
Yeah, well, you actually get involved in trust strategies. You need lawyers to write the trust, but the strategy itself is you work as a team to put all that, you know, like the spousal limited access trusts strategy works a lot in a lot of cases,
mm-hmm.
husband and wife cases. And that particular strategy allows the deceased control after they die. And, you know, that turns out to be an objective for many couples, right? Because especially if you're wealthy, the dysfunctionality of families happens.
Right.
It just does.
Yeah.
And so there's, you know, there's an objective to protect the heirs from themselves. And so the trust can help you do that. And right now, under the rules that exist, spousal limited access trust strategy for husband and wife, mm-hmm. where the wife's trust has as its trustee the husband, and the husband's trust has as its trustee the wife, and depending on their talents, their other characteristics, but the idea
mm-hmm.
produces huge tax benefits because of discounting. So the discounts, you can transfer something that has an apparent value of $10 million
mm-hmm.
for as little as $4 million. And that puts a big dent in the estate tax.
Pretty cool. Excellent, Al. So we are coming towards the end. So this is one of my favorite questions that I ask is, like, if you have to give any suggestions to business owners, what would you say?
Well, see, the business, the choice of entity and how you operate mm-hmm. is key. I mean, it just is. It enables everything. So if you're running your operation uh-huh. through one entity, there are huge opportunities that you're passing. You're going right by them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's costing you money, and it could be a lot of money. And just from the discussions that we've had today, you heard, you know, all the various entities and that you've heard about, that the characteristics that each one has when you put them all together in a plan,
right,
allows tremendous efficiencies and optimization of what you have in terms of business. If you have a dedicated marketing company, I'll tell you what, that business is going to grow faster.
Yeah.
You know, and so it's all of those things together, and how you operate them mm-hmm. turns out to be an art. We all know that. And there are many, many ways to be successful. There's the benevolent dictator. And son of a gun, if they aren't outrageously successful, you know, certain of them are. And then there's, you know, all of the above.
Right, right.
And so as an advisor, I recognize that. And that's why the focus is on the owner and what are they trying to do? What are their characteristics? How can I help?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because I've helped benevolent dictators and I've helped people that have their hands off of everything.
Right.
Right. and everything in the middle. So how can I do that? You know, it's like, I'm not for everybody, but I try to be.
So essentially, you're saying that the business should be organized in a way that it's efficient, so that business organization comes into play, and then how we are conducting the business. So you guide with both these aspects in terms of like the organization structure, and then also how to conduct what functions and implement.
Yeah, it gets down to that's the top tier, but it gets down to really nitty gritty detail, like accounting methods. Every business has key points, key operating points. And there, because there's this element that is producing the result, most of the result, you want to identify the best methods of accounting that allows you to accumulate more and allows you to optimize minimize the amount of taxes that you incur. And it's just all over the place. That there's opportunities throughout. There's opportunities throughout. So some of the opportunities are really conceptual, but other opportunities that are important are just details. It's crazy. It really is crazy.
No, this is great information, Al. So if anyone is interested in contacting you, what's the best way to reach you?
Well, I'm a guy that struggles with technology, but I don't struggle with emails. avarias@avariasco.com. I don't struggle with the telephone. 858-454-8056. I don't struggle with text. 619-884-7503. So all of those are friendly to me. I hope they're friendly to the clients and the client prospects.
Yeah, no, I think that works in most of the cases. Yeah, so listeners, you can send an email to al@avarias@avariasco.com. And you can also text him at 619-884-7503 and also call him. So, Al, it was a pleasure talking to you. And I hope that this conversation will be valuable and the listeners will also find it interesting if they have not experienced utilizing some of the things that you have mentioned. Then it's, I think, definitely worth a consideration. So I appreciate your time today.
You made it fun.
So listeners, this show was brought to you by Payroll Vault. You can find the recording of this talk on our website, businessbythebay.live. I'll be back next week. Until then, take care and have a great weekend.
Thanks.
Business by the Bay with your host, Ajay Sani. Join us next time as we discuss challenges businesses face and possible solutions.